Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
The learning of Shlesha Prakim, the three chapters of Rambam, we are currently learning something called Hilchas Eruvin. As the Rambam himself says in the beginning of Hilchas Eruvin, that this entire set of halachas is not a mitzvah. There are eight chapters, some very, very nuanced and difficult halachas, but it is a mitzvah medivrei sefrim. It is not a biblical mitzvah, it's a rabbinic mitzvah. And the mitzvah that we learn today, because we're learning sefer mitzvahs, is biblical mitzvahs, is once again to repeat mitzvah number 320. So for the benefit of those joining us now for the first time, the mitzvah shin chof, the negative mitzvah that numbers 320 in the Rambam system is ha'azodah shos harnu melasas malacha b'shabbos, the prohibition that we have to do work on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do work. What does work mean? This we discussed in great detail. What does work mean? But you're not allowed to work on Shabbos. As the Torah says, lo sasa kol melacha, you're not allowed to do any work. And we understand that since the Torah says you have to build a Mishkan, and you cannot build a Mishkan on Shabbos, that anything that was involved in building of a Mishkan would necessarily be considered work, and thusly a violation of Shabbos. Somebody who violates this mitzvah, pedish be'akos of the scripture, is very explicit in telling us shubikodis, that as a result, he would earn himself the terrible consequence of being cut off from his people, which is the idea of kodesh. Im lo yoda bai hadayin, if there is nobody who actually knows for sure what he did, and lo niskayim bai edim, there is no testimony that's brought against him, so the case cannot be prosecuted. However, if that would be the case, then there's a much more severe punishment carried out by an earthly court. No earthly court has carried out punishments like this for almost 21 centuries, but in theory, this is what would be done, and that makes us understand in practice how important it is not to violate Shabbos. And this is the idea of skila, the most severe capital punishment. Kol zeh u'bemezid. All of this is applicable for one who does it purposefully, wantonly, to violate Hashem's will. If a person violates the Shabbat, but he does so accidentally, not mindfully, not intentionally, makriv chatas kavua, then he has to bring what's called a sin offering, but there's different kinds of sin offerings. This is the most severe kind. It doesn't change regardless of your station in life, rich or poor. You're obligated to bring the same one. The details of this mitzvah are found in the Masichta, the tractate of Talmud, which is known as Shabbos. Okay, so what does that have to do with Eruvin? And what is Eruvin anyway? Very briefly, there are things which we're not allowed to do on Shabbat. Why can't we do them? God says we can't do them. God considers it to be a violation of the sanctity of this holy day. One of those things is carrying in a public domain, or carrying from a private domain to a public domain. To transport something on Shabbos is considered to be a violation of Shabbos. Okay, very good. So that's one of the prohibitions of Shabbos. So here's the thing. In a public domain, you're not permitted to carry something for 4 cubits, approximately 6 feet. In a private domain, you're not allowed to carry something at all. From the private domain to transfer it from private to public or public to private, automatically a violation of Shabbos. But in a private domain, what's the question? It's a private domain. How about from private domain to private domain? So you have a house and I have a house and you have a house too. And all of our backyards converge. We all have little fences, but it's all private. Can I carry from one private domain to the other private domain? The answer, of course, is why not? It's private domains. So here we get into an issue. And the issue is the sages here refers to the ecclesiastic court that was headed by none other than King Solomon, the wisest of people, Shlomo HaMelech. They said, if people are going to carry from private domain to another private domain, sometimes that private domain is a fairly public domain, because a public domain means a public thoroughfare with an enormous amount of traffic, according to most opinions. We're talking about 600,000 people traversing. We're talking about Main Street of the large municipalities of old, where there was one main street, and it was like a bazaar or a shuk, and there was literally hundreds of thousands of people that would pass through on a daily basis. That was called a public domain. How about a little alleyway? Maybe 10 people, maybe 50 people go through this alleyway on a daily basis. Is it a public domain or is it a private domain? Well, technically it's a private domain. It's a small alleyway between homes. You know those little alleyways you go to into your old city of Yerushalayim? So that little alleyway is not a public domain. So if I can take it from my house, I think, to my neighbor's house. No, because public domain doesn't matter who it's owned by. Public or private domain means that it's wide open, a public thoroughfare, Or it's a quiet area where nobody comes. This is the area, the alleyway has got walls on all sides. So it starts like this. I take from my domain to your domain. Well, if I take my domain to your domain, why can't I take from both of our domains right up to the alleyway? It is a private domain. And the alleyway leads into a larger alley. But the larger alley is also fairly small. And it doesn't have the laws of public domain. And maybe you could just put a little lechi over there, put a little 2x4 or even less alongside the alleyway. And that's already a sign that makes demarcation that this alleyway is private domain. So we're very comfortable now. We're carrying from one private domain to the other private domain. We're carrying from people's personal area to another people's personal area. From there, we're carrying into the alleyways. From alleyways, we're carrying into larger courtyards or squares. What happens? What happens is, at some point, people lose sight of the idea that on Shabbat, you can't carry from one domain to the other domain. We say, what's the difference? I could carry from my house to the alley, but I can't carry from the alley to the other street. And what if I live in a big thoroughfare? My neighbor carries into his alley all the time. And I'm just going across. I live on the other side of the thoroughfare. I'm just going from one private domain to another private domain. People get very confused. And as a rule, human beings do not do well on a tightrope. Only in a circus it works. And if people have to work on a tightrope all the time, and you have to expect people to remember, but these are not the people that are working in a nuclear reactor that are on hypertension, worried about every little detail. They don't, you know, life goes. They don't think that much. Invariably, people are going to come to violate Shabbos. So, Shlomo HaMelech's Beis Din said, in order to safeguard the sanctity of Shabbat Kodesh, in order to ensure that work is not done, which is in contravention of Hashem's laws in the Torah, that we are going to require private domains to become united, to coalesce into something, have a common purpose. And this common purpose that will unite them will allow them to carry from one domain to the other domain, but otherwise it can't carry. So let's talk about, for example, an apartment building. Okay, let's talk about one of those buildings with three floors, you know, anywhere in Israel. Everybody's Jewish. Can I carry from my apartment into your apartment? Why not? It's a hallway. It's part of a building. Ah, but my house is a private domain. And your condo house is also a private domain. And the area is kind of belonging to everybody. It's a shared domain. So what we would have to do is have all the people in this house will join together to break bread. Well, not actually to break bread. They're going to put bread aside. They're going to put food aside for two meals. And that food could be in any one of the homes. And in this way, we have a joint venture. We are no longer separated by virtue of different jurisdictions because there's a part of our jurisdiction that we all share together. That's the concept of Eruv. This is known as Eruv Chatzeres. And it was Shituf. Now, the halacha even is that if you have people who are living like these nomadic peoples that live in Israel, the Druze, people that have goats and sheep, and they set up shop, if you want to call it that. You drive on the highway, you see they have blankets and styrofoam and whatever. They make this fence for themselves. And you have 5, 6, or 10 families that are living in different tents. Even there you need to have an Eruv. Why? Because these are permanent dwellings. May not be that permanent. We're only here for 2 weeks. But when I'm here for 2 weeks, you don't go into my tent. I don't go into your tent without permission. We have to make an Eruv. The same thing would be if an army sets up camp, even in today's day and age. Army set up camp like this. Ariel Sharon once said that we have to have settlements. Why? Because he said, if the Tzahal is somewhere, you can pull up the army in 6 hours. But if families live there, it will be much harder to uproot them. What a painful prophecy, right? A lot that helped us in Gaza. But the point is well taken. The point is an army can set up a very sophisticated dwelling in a matter of hours. And they can disappear in a matter of hours. But when they're there, they're there. There's the mifaked, there's the general, there's all these different people that have their quarters. They can set up makeshift things, but even though it's makeshift, it is private domains. So what happens for observant soldiers who are out somewhere, who have to set up a camp like that? They make an Eruv. Now, oftentimes, these people are eating together anyway. So it's not even an issue. They don't have meals in their own home. They're eating in a common mess hall. But if they wouldn't be, they have to have an Eruv. The only case where it's not necessary is if people are traveling. Once upon a time, they had these caravans, camels or donkeys, and they travel. So they break for the night. So when they break or make camp, even if they put up a makeshift little fence, it's not really private domain. There's no domains. We broke for the night. The people broke for Shabbos. So in that case, Shlomo HaMelech didn't institute the need for an Eruv. But otherwise, we have to have an Eruv. And this is a very, very important thing for us to know. We get into interesting questions, like what do you do in a hotel? You have a Shabbaton in a hotel. So we're all together in a hotel, right? Can I carry from one room to the other? So the Rabbi Shafanchi says the answer is yes. Why? Because the truth is nobody owns the hotel rooms. Service comes in. It's all owned. You're all under one jurisdiction. It's the jurisdiction of that hotel. But you know what? Sometimes you have two hotels which are joined, where you have like a, in the, you know, downtown core area, or you have sometimes at the airport. There could be a passageway or a walkway which are owned by different. It would be a problem. You can't go from one to the other on Shabbos. These questions are asked about condos. Questions are asked about apartments, right? Where there's shared ownership, where there's not a cooperation, where everybody has their own ownership. In such a case, you cannot carry from your condo into the hallway. You can't carry. Why? because it's there's this issue with the different reshuyot. Even though they're all reshut hayachid, even though they're all private domains, we still would have an issue unless we create an Eruv. And then the question happens, what happens if one of the people is not Jewish? Or what if he's an agnostic Jew? What do you do then? How do you create Eruv then? These are all the sophisticated, detailed, the nuanced questions which are dealt with in the laws of Hilchos Eruvin. But just for the purposes of Sefer HaMitzvahs, now you know about the Eruv, Eruv Chatzeres. And we once again learned a little bit more about the complexities and challenges of keeping Shabbat Kehilchata the way it is supposed to be, which is what today's mitzvah is, the 320th mitzvah, the mitzvah of not violating the sanctity and the holiness of Shabbos by performing activities that the Torah prevents. And that concludes the 48th shir of Rambam.